This morning, I cannot say what I did when I came before you the other night, because I have now been to McClinney Primitive Baptist Church, and your hospitality has been exceeding what I even heard or imagined, and I have counted it a great pleasure to be here. And as Brother David said, I was in a real turmoil about what I ought to do. That's a difficult thing when it's wonderful to have people desiring you to come, but the question is, which way do I go? And it's not an easy decision sometimes. But as Brother Chris came up and he mentioned the book of Ruth, I just nearly fell out of my chair because I had already determined that I was going to preach about the book of Ruth.
Amen.
And I said, you got to be kidding. But in all seriousness, let me just pick up where he left off. Now, in all sincerity, if I took the entire time allotted out of the book of Ruth and Brother Tim followed, you know what? We would have just scratched the surface, maybe. Now, I'm going to fill in some blanks. I've been known to do that a few times. The names of those two boys meant sick and pining. Okay? Sick and pining. Boaz, his name means in him is strength.
Amen.
Okay? Now, what causes famine? Notice this is introduced. It's in the time of the judges. What was the condition during the time of the judges? Israel had gone far astray because there was no king in the land, and never man did that which was right in his own eyes. This is what I want to do. God help us to say, Lord, what will you have me do? Okay? Now, famine is another subject entirely, but generally speaking, famines were because of a lack of rain. Okay? And many times it was the judgment of God coming upon the people because he withheld the former rain and the latter rain. They planted their crops, but there was no harvest. But I say to you in all sincerity, one thing that's important, when Elimelech dies and his two sons die, how in the world is the name of Elimelech going to carry on? Now, you say, well, that's not important. That's very important. Now, my last name's Kirkpatrick. But you know what? If I didn't have two sons that carry on that name. Now, I love my daughters, but they carry another name.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? Now, my point is, this is a beautiful story. And Naomi loved her two daughters-in-laws. She said, you've been better to me. And they wept. This is a sad situation. You not only have three widows that are there, but it's a disgrace for them to be in that condition. And that's the reason she tells them, go back to your kinmen. She says, I'm too old to have children. And even if I did, would you wait until they were raised before you could have children by them? It's an obvious no, no. But when she hears the message that God hath called her, now hear me carefully. When she returns to Israel, and I want to pick up another thing situation. Bethlehem, Judah is, as already been mentioned, it's the place of bread. But Judah is the place of praise. This is where we praise the living bread come down from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this situation, she hears about the how things have happened. And yes, we know that Orpah departed and went back home. But Ruth said, I'll go with you everywhere. Entreat me not to leave thee, nor from following after thee. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy God shall be my God, and where thou diest, there will I be buried also. Do you realize what a commitment that is? I'm going with you all the way, even unto death.
Amen. Yeah.
And I'll die with you. Now, hear me carefully. When I read the book of Ruth, and it says, it was her hap to lie on the field of Boaz. It just so happened.
That's right.
I don't believe a word of that.
Amen.
I believe God's providential hand led her.
Yes. Yes.
Now, hear me carefully. Those people were under a command. Thank God there's a God in heaven who provides for us when we don't know how to provide for ourselves.
Amen.
Now, in this situation, he made strict rules of those individuals who'd plant the harvest and the time would come for harvest. And he told them very specifically, he said, don't you glean that field twice.
Right.
He said, you harvest one time and let it go.
Yeah.
He said, and by the way, when it comes to the corners, leave them alone. They're for the fatherless. They're for the widows. Okay? And the strangers in the land. And there's a reason he specified those three categories of people. Now, here, in this situation, it was her hap to lie in the field of Boaz. And Boaz has laborers working in the field. And I just shout for joy when I see Boaz says, who is this damsel? Who is this in my field? And they tell her, this is Ruth the Moabitess. By the way, she's a Gentile. Okay, now I need to pick up another name. Moab. Moab, and God says in his book, he said, Moab is my washpot. Okay? That's where the filth goes. Okay? Now, we look at this situation, and I say to you in all sincerity, when she lights on the field of Boaz, and Boaz says, whose damsel is this? Well, that's Ruth the Moabitess. And you know what he said? He said, rebuke her not. Don't you touch her. Don't you harm her.
Amen.
But you drop a few handfuls of purpose.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank God.
Yes.
That God from time to time drops handfuls of purpose.
Amen.
When we're in the midst of the valley.
That's right.
When we wonder, will there ever be another time like this?
Yeah.
But I say to you, God's storehouse is full.
Amen.
We don't have because we don't ask.
Right. Right.
Now, I look at this situation, and after he tells his servants this, he also goes to her and says, by the way, don't you go to another field. Don't you go to another field. You stay right here by my maidens. And aren't you glad that we have a God in glory? That is so mindful of our needs.
Yes. Amen.
That he fills our needs even when we don't even know how to ask.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Now, we watch this circumstance as she comes back and she's gleaning and she takes and gathers the barley, and I'll mention this, it's for what it's worth. It takes about twice as much barley to handle an individual as it does wheat. Okay? It's not nearly as nutritious as the wheat is. But it will sustain. Okay? Now, when she gets back to Naomi, you know what the first question Naomi has is? Where'd you glean today? Well, I gleaned in the field of one Boaz. Naomi says, he's our kinsman. He's related to us. Well, is he related to her? He's related to Elimelech. Okay? Now, he's related to Elimelech. And he commands her. Now, I'm going to have to keep this moving in order to get to some points that I think are critically important with the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, I have often referred to, I said it's the biggest little book there is in God's book. Because it's only four chapters long. It's only four chapters long. But I'm telling you, it is solid gold.
Amen.
From the first letter to the last. Okay? Now, in this situation, Ruth, Naomi is too old to go out and glean. But Ruth is gleaning for both of them. But we come to a point in time, and I'm going to have to move on with this to get to the point. The custom of redemption takes place as specified in Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy, God's book. He tells them who can redeem. There are several qualifications for a redeemer. Number one, he has to be a kinsman. Okay? If he's not a kinsman, he can't redeem. Okay? Now, he might buy it, but he can't redeem it. There's a difference. Okay? Now, he has to be a kinsman. He has to have the price to redeem. And he has to be willing to redeem. If any one of those three are missing, he can't redeem. Okay? Now, Boaz has the name in him is strength, and it's not there just for accident.
That's right.
He's not only a man of strength, but he's a man of wealth. Okay? Now, I had read the book of Ruth time after time after time before it hit me, and I said, how did I miss that all those times? You know who Boaz's mother was? Boaz's mother was Rahab the harlot. It ain't any wonder why Boaz was sensitive to the needs of that woman. He's raised by a woman who was redeemed out of when the walls of Jericho fell. I want you to recognize they had tied a scarlet ribbon, it says. Well, that wasn't, as far as I'm concerned, it wasn't a little tiny ribbon you couldn't see. It was a large ribbon. It was a rope that marked her out. Now, you talk about God's deliverance and God's wonderful, how he delivers his people. When the walls of that city fell down flat and her house was on top of the wall, yet she's delivered. I want you to realize God can reach in the midst of nothing and pull his people out of it. Now, in this circumstance, Boaz, the time comes that Naomi tells Ruth, he's a nearer kinsman, and he'll do the part of a nearer kinsman. And she tells her to go to the threshing floor. The threshing floors were typically on stones, where there was a breeze that would come, because they'd take the grain and they would beat the grain, and the wind would carry the chaff away, and the grain would be left. And the man who owned the threshing floor typically slept on the threshing floor. Why did he sleep on the threshing floor? To prevent theft. Okay? Now, Boaz goes to sleep, and in the midst of the night, Ruth comes at his feet. Now, it's a disgrace for a woman to be found on the threshing floor. The place is to be occupied by men only. But when she goes there, and then Boaz becomes aware that she's there, and he spreads his skirt over her and tells her that tomorrow I will do the part of a kinsman. Tomorrow I will do the part of a kinsman. But there's a kinsman that's nearer than I. There's somebody else who has first claim in the situation. And then he advertises the land of Elimelech is to be redeemed. And he takes him to the gate of the city. By the way, that's the city courthouse. That's where all business is transacted. He takes him to the gate of the city. He said, now, the land of Elimelech can be redeemed. And you have first claim. But by the way, when you redeem that, not only have to redeem Naomi and the land, you have to also redeem Ruth, the Moabitess. Now the kinsman says, initially says, I will. Then he says, I can't, lest I mar my own inheritance. Now, you can take this any way you want, and I won't be dogmatic about it, but as far as I'm concerned, that first kinsman was the law. Okay? The law could never redeem. But hear me carefully. If the law could redeem, who could he redeem? Only those who were under it. Okay. Ruth didn't fall under that law. No. She's a Gentile. Okay. Now, when we see this situation, and he says, in the day that you redeem that of Naomi, you must also redeem that of Ruth the Moabitess. And he says, I can't, lest I mar my own inheritance. Boaz says, I'll redeem it. Now, no need in going into all the details of what happens when redemption takes place. But, you know, sincerity. When he redeems that land, does Naomi become his wife? No. No. Now, folks, so you don't miss it. This is a picture of the Lord's Gentile church. Okay? And how it came into existence. Okay? Now, watch this very carefully. The next couple of minutes, because you're going to get lost if you don't stay with me. All right? Now, Boaz takes Ruth to wife. She has a child. As the friends of Naomi tell her, he shall be a restorer of life unto thee. Well, what do you mean? Elimelech's name is going to be carried on. Okay? Because Ruth has a son. Okay? Now, watch this carefully. You say, well, I get tired of reading all those genealogies in God's book. All those details that you get so bored with. And I laugh when Brother Sonny Powell says, well, if you want a spiritual sermonex, just go read the book of Chronicles. And I'll say amen and amen. For the simple reason, it can get boring, but you never know when you're going to uncover a nugget.
Amen.
Okay? Now, in Genesis chapter 38, we interrupt the story of Joseph's life. One whole chapter is dedicated to an incestuous relationship with Judah. Okay? And his daughter-in-law. And that's how the book of Ruth closes. Because when she has these two sons, one is called Phares and one is called Zerah. Okay? The book of Ruth says, Phares, now, by the way, this boy didn't have a legal father. He had a father. He didn't have a legal father. Now, when God's book says, then if you're without chastisement, where are the children, all the children are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That's not a curse word. That's a legal term. We have several attorneys in the house today that will verify what I'm telling you. Okay? It's a legal term. That boy didn't have a legal father. Okay? But he had a father. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Now, if you counted with me, how many generations do you suppose we got when we got to David? We got 10 generations. We got 10 generations. You say, why is that important? Just a little meticulous detail. When you get into God's book and the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Leviticus, don't scoff at those details. They're all in there for a purpose. Brother Tim, I'm going to be done in about 2 minutes. In this situation, he said, a bastard or one without a legal father shall not enter the congregation of the Lord until the 10th generation. You think God hadn't made provision
Amen.
For his people? I say to you in all sincerity, thank God for the book of Ruth and the beautiful story that we are told.
Amen.
But I say in closing, we have a kinsman.
Amen.
We all died in the first Adam.
Right.
But you know who redeemed us? The second Adam. The second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come ahead, Brother Tim.
Yeah.